Welcome to the Beyond the Sermon podcast, where we take your questions from Sunday's teachings in order to form a dialogue about the scriptures and what God is teaching each and every one of us.
Welcome back to the Beyond the Sermon side of the Christ Community Church podcast. I am Pastor Kyle and joined by Pastor
Ryan Smith. Oh, wait.
Ryan, you look different today.
I'm so sorry. No, Ryan preached this morning.
Ryan did.
Fantastic job, Ryan.
Yeah, he did a great job.
That's
he did
right.
a great job. Yeah. And but you are. Who are you?
I'm Taylor. I work here. I'm Pastor Taylor. I work here at the church.
Oh, you do?
That's right. It's a delight to be with you again, and I'm excited to hear you just completely eviscerate Ryan's sermon.
So let's oh my goodness.
Tear it to shreds, baby.
Oh my goodness. Taylor is a counseling pastor, and he loves to sow seeds of animosity.
Discord and dissent. Yeah, no. Genuinely, I thought Ryan did a fantastic job this morning.
No,
but
no.
Don't tell him I said that.
Don't. Oh,
it'll go straight to his head.
Oh, okay. We don't. Got it.
Yeah. Anyway,
don't tell Ryan he did a good job.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay. All right. That's your motto.
That's right.
You and Ryan. We gotta say this. You and Ryan have a long, long relationship.
Yes. I think I was actually his counselor at Hidden Acres when he was at like a third grade camper or something. So yeah, it goes back.
It's a long time.
So
yeah. And then when you were on staff at Hidden Acres, mm-hmm. Ryan was there on staff
summer
as
staff.
Well.
Yeah.
Summer right. staff. And so you guys are very close.
You're that's right.
very close. And so
too close.
Too close, some might say. you guys have a great friendship and so that's why you can tease
that's right.
Ryan
that's
this
right.
way.
No one else can.
No one else.
Well, his
can.
Mom can.
Sherry can.
Obviously. Sherry can tease any of us though.
Sherry's in charge.
That's right.
She's great. I love Sherry so much. Sherry is a lady, one of those people in my life that both, can equally at the same time give me a hard time and encourage me.
Exactly right.
Right.
She walks you that know, line very well.
She's she's Sherry and Dave are great. Ryan, obviously, Ryan mentioned Eric this morning.
That's right.
So Dave and Sherry, they're. Mm. They're good Jesus-following
people.
Right.
They're the best.
Yeah.
We love them. Love those Smiths. Anyway, got a few questions.
We do, yeah.
From the sermon this morning. I think some great questions here. So, you ready to dive into
it? Let's dive in.
All right.
And Ryan couldn't be with us
that's right.
because he's got family in town and they're grabbing lunch right after church. And so I actually think he just didn't want to be in the room with you, Taylor.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That's probably it there. But so we're gonna wax poetically here about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As Ryan dove in this morning, did a great job reminding us of why we need reminders.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so diving right in with Paul's text. And again, helping us to consider the reality that faithful remembering isn't just it's not just a mental activity, and it's not just a heart activity. It's not just an academic thing we do, and it's not just a nostalgic thing that we do.
That's right.
It's both head and heart, right? And engages that whole spectrum of who we are. And so as Paul does that for the Corinthian people there in chapter 15, the Corinthian church. And so, so let's dive in. Let's hear some thoughts, some questions from 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
That's right. And may I just say, this chapter is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. I'm so excited that we get to walk through it for a few weeks. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, got a few questions here. How do we help people see that gathered worship is important?
Mm.
It's probably coming from a place of people just lower attendance in gathered worship.
Yeah.
So how do we communicate the importance of it?
Yeah. I always think about, the phrase is that culture is not taught, it's caught.
Yeah.
Right? And leadership is not caught, it's taught. You know, we can go into this arena in a number of different ways, but I think there's something really, really powerful about what are we teaching, but also what are people seeing?
Yeah.
What's just caught from us? And another leadership principle that you our staff will hear me say from time to time is that the culture we tolerate is the culture that we create.
That's right.
And so there's a little bit of that even here, right? When we think about gathered worship, my question is always, what am I embodying that is demonstrating that this thing of gathered worship is it's so valuable.
Yeah.
It's meaningful. It can't be missed and it can't be replaced, right? And are the people in my life seeing something in me that is the living proof of why we gather together. And why gathering together on a Sunday morning? I think Ryan said it this way. We're not a book club.
That's right.
Right? And then we talk about Connect Group specifically. But even in gathered worship, we're not just a social organization that's coming together to sing some songs That's right. together. And, That's right. I know at least one social club, they literally start their meeting by singing together.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, that's interesting, right? But it's not a church.
That's right.
And they're not there for religious purposes. And so, which is just very interesting. So we're not that. So what are we? Why are we doing that? Why aren't we just out eating brunch?
That's right.
You know? And so
shooting the breeze with our friends,
eating brunch, all those kind of things. And so I think the question often comes back to me of like, what are people seeing in me that is demonstrating that there is something more valuable, right, to spending time on a Sunday morning in gathered community? And that doesn't mean that the people in my life that are, you know, that are looking on my life are going to naturally make that conclusion, right? Yeah. But do they see something in me that goes, what is different about you and why are you different?
Yeah.
And then it's on me to go, hey, that thing you see in me, it's because of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the way that I'm routinely and regularly spurred on and engaged and energized into this is because of the gathered environment, right? Mm-hmm. Because I go to church on Sunday, I don't just go
right
because I have nothing else to do on a Sunday mm-hmm. morning. Right, we live in an age where there are so many choices on a Sunday morning, and so it's not like living in the Bible Belt back in the day where there were blue laws and everything was closed on Sunday, right? And so it's just really interesting that way. And I think what is my life testifying to, right? And then I think what about believers? You know, have we helped the believers in our lives mm-hmm. truly understand the why of the what?
Yeah.
Right, and I loved this morning as Ryan went into things on why we gather. Why do we sing? Here's a hot take from Kyle.
I can't wait to hear this.
If we never did music again, I would be okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm just not. Music is not my thing.
It's all right.
It's not my thing. Do you know if I told my wife that, she would absolutely be like, "No, sir, you're wrong. Music is her everything."
Mm.
Right. She loves music.
Awesome.
So again, I think there's room for personality here in that we're all wired differently. Yep. And so Danielle loves that component. I'm like, it's important. I don't necessarily love singing, right? And so I do value that we have got worship teams that lead excellently mm-hmm. and bring us into the presence of the Lord. But here's what is so powerful about gathered worship, as Ryan mentioned it this morning. We hear the voices of the saints around us.
That's right.
I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for one. We're praying in the service. Why do we greet one another? Because we need to shake our neighbor's hand?
Right. Just to break up the monotony of the service there? Is that all it is?
No. It's because we literally want to look in the eyes of somebody else and go, I'm here with you.
That's right.
We are on this journey together. We're different people. We mm-hmm. have different stories. We have different struggles. But we are on this journey together. I'm not walking into this place in isolation. And so there. Why do we open the Word? Which, by the way, is maybe my favorite part.
Yeah, shocker there.
Shocker, right? but is its reality is that we wanna engage Scripture in community so that we can be, as Ryan said, as we're scattered into the week, we can be charged, and as we can go back into the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. We can be fed and be able to feed ourselves because we're learning how to read the Bible better in community through sermons and things like that.
Right.
And so are we helping believers understand the whys behind the whats?
That's right.
Why do we do an expositional sermon? Because we want to learn to read the Bible, because we want to come back and understand the deeper context so that we can apply it to our lives. Mm-hmm. Why do we sing? Because song actually helps us remember deep truths better than an expositional sermon.
That's right.
there. I said it.
Works okay? It into our hearts.
It works into our hearts. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther talked about the power of songs.
Right.
And so, and we hear the voice of the saints around us. Why do we pray together? Because it confesses our dependency. Mm-hmm. And we're reminded when we pray that we need God's help, right? Why do we take communion, right? They're visible
all
elements,
right? That's
right. So all those things. So I think, are we helping, you know, maybe parents, right? You got some kids. Are we helping our kids understand the whys mm-hmm. behind the whats?
That's right.
If you're in a relationship with another believer and they're like, I got some better things to do for church. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in your life that is actively designed to help fill you up, spur you on, and send you out to be the light of Jesus into your week?
Hard to find.
And then, so do you understand the whys behind the what? So that's always my yeah. thing. So when I'm, especially with non-believers or nominal believers, do they see anything different in my life?
Yeah.
That makes them go, ooh, what's that? And then for believers, and you're like, do you actually know why we do what we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are kind of the two paradigms yeah. there for me in this question. I don't know. What about you, Taylor, as you think about it?
Well, that just reminds me of something. I was talking with Ward Leek this morning, another just delightful.
Yeah, long faithful saint.
That's right. And he was talking about how he was at work, and this younger gal just asked him, what church do you go to? And he noticed, she didn't say, do you go to church? She said, what church do you go to? And he asked her, why did you say it that way?
Yeah.
And she said, I could just tell. Like he's giving that the aroma of Christ,
yeah,
right, and like that was pretty inspiring to me and kind of convicting too. Like,
yeah.
Do I do that? Do I kind of carry him with me as I go about my day? Can people see there's something different?
Yeah.
But the other thing That's I cool. would say, the only thing I would add to everything you said was, why are you coming to church, right? Like,
yeah.
Christian, are you coming out of just duty, like obligation or habit or routine, or do you love being here?
Yeah.
And there may be seasons where you don't.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yes.
But when you're here, like as you're engaging with God, he should be speaking to you in some unique way. Even if it's not necessarily a fun way, while you're here, we want you to be falling in love with God. We want you to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, listening for God's voice. And as he speaks to you, our prayer is that you would be drawn closer to God. And so people can see that too. If you're telling people, hey, come to church with me, we would hope that it's because you want that person to experience that love as well and experience God working and experience that joy, that true joy that you get from worshiping God with God's people. Nothing necessarily special about the building.
No.
But you are gathering together to worship God. We want that to be creating a wellspring of joy that overflows into others.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at it as you're talking about that, and that question of why am I doing it? Reminded me of a resource that we read in the Lead Well, Serve Well cohort, and I had to look up the author's name. It's Tony Payne. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a friend who's named Chris Payne, and I was like, I know it's not Chris. Who is it? It's a little resource. It's not a long read, and it's called How to Walk into Church. And Tony Payne is the guy who wrote it, who authored it. And it's asking the question of intentionality.
That's right.
Right? And so yes, do I know why we're doing what we're doing? Why am I, right? Why am I coming here?
Mm-hmm.
What is my expectation? What is my purpose? What is my intentionality? And I can't hand those things off until I can articulate them for myself.
That's right.
Right? And so just as you were talking about that, that little resource came into my mind and going, if you want to chew on that a little bit more, that's a great little read.
Super short. And that the thing about that has really stuck in my mind is praying about where you sit.
Mm-hmm.
It's right away in that book too. And it's so, I was like, I was just so caught off guard by that. He's like, pray. When you walk into church, go, God, where do you want me to sit? Because he's going to open up doors. He's going to make connections that you could not have predicted. But man, that is a great little resource there.
Yeah. Yeah. So great question. How do we think about the gathered environment?
Yep.
Right.
That's right. All right. So we got a recommendation here for a Bible app. Because one of the things Ryan talked about was spending time in the Word.
Yeah.
And as we've talked about before, it's okay if it feels like a bit of a slog at first.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like that duty as it grows will turn into delight.
Yeah.
So this person uses, they recommend something called PRS Bible app. I think it stands for the Public Reading of Scripture.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Cool.
It helps them get through it. It's dramatized.
Oh, wow.
So that sounds great. I know there's a few apps that do that.
Oh, yeah.
A few websites. I know the ESV app.
Yep.
You can have it read to you. And if you like subscribe to it, you can have a bunch of different voices. So that's one of the things. There's also free podcasts you can subscribe to. That's what I like to do.
Yep.
And it just every day I just get a new chunk of scripture to listen to. How about you? Do you have any tools that you use to kind of foster that relationship?
Yeah. So, so ESV app is great. The Bible app is a great
YouVersion.
YouVersion Bible app is a great resource.
Tons of stuff in there and all free.
The public reading of scripture, the PRS app. I've never used it. But that's awesome.
Nope. Sounds good
to learn about. The Logos Bible study app, LOGOS. It's the Bible study platform that I've used for about 15 years now, and I'm super invested in it.
You're dug in.
I'm dug in from an academic standpoint. So it can do an unbelievable amount of stuff. But their app, their free platform is just a great Bible study app.
And
a lot of helps. Blue Letter Bible is another one that gives you some deeper Bible study tools and things like that. So there's a number of apps. I just think, look, we all know we should know the reality of the net negative of the devices in our pockets.
That's right.
And yet we live in a time where God has enabled us to expand our ability to connect with Him through podcasts, just podcasts of not just people talking about the Bible, but literally podcasts of people reading the Bible.
Just listen to it.
The availability of that, the availability to translate the Bible into different languages.
It's incredible.
Right? To get good Bible study resources and things like that help us to enjoy God's word, learn God's word even more and more, right? And so I think it's just amazing at some of the resources that are here. So, hey, if we've got this thing in our pockets, let's use it for our sanctification that is becoming more like Jesus. So
that's
awesome app recommendation. I've never used it. So, but there's a number of different apps that are out there.
And how incredible is it? I mean, just praise God for a second that I can have basically every English translation of the Bible in my pocket at all times. I've like the entire Bible.
Yes.
And I've got commentaries on my phone. If I'm really stuck on a passage, I really want some help understanding this. I can turn to so many different resources. Yeah. Like that's just this. It's an embarrassment of riches, right? Like
it really is
so much access that our previous generations didn't have. So.
Well, and even not just you and me in the West here, but for brothers and sisters that are in especially closed country places, the wealth of resources to be able to get the scriptures individual people groups' tongues, their languages, huge.
It's unreal.
Right? Where before you literally had to have somebody walk a Bible in, hoping you had it translated into their tribal language.
Well, spending years learning their language.
Right? Now we have the ability to access the internet and even in closed countries, right? Remote closed countries. I get to interact with different people that are doing work. They're living in the West, reaching people in closed countries.
It's unreal.
Right?
Incredible.
And you're just like, and you know what? We still need people on the ground, discipling, encouraging, building.
Yeah.
But just some of these resources that are there for you and me in the West and in an open environment, and then even to carry the gospel into some very closed places.
That's awesome.
There's some great resources.
Yeah, so, incredible. Yep. Praise God.
Yep.
Another question here. So the sermon, the main point of the sermon was that faithful remembering, let's see if I can get it word for word. Faithful remembering requires engaging the head and the heart.
Is that close enough? That was it. That was spot on. That was not just close enough. That was spot on.
So what are some potential downsides of focusing too much on either the head or the heart in worship? Leaning so far in one direction that you exclude the other, I think is the intent of this question.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I think my brain goes here. I think on the front end, each of us have a different personality. So I joked earlier in the podcast, right? Music is not my thing.
Could do without it.
Could do without it. I could get rid of it. And my wife is like, we could get rid of the preaching. You know what I mean? And that's really personal.
Is it preaching in general or is it just you? No, I'm not going to ask
that
question.
Don't ask that question.
Sorry.
No, so I think in that Danielle and I recognize like we have very different personalities.
That's right.
And I do actually love music, and she loves preaching.
That's right.
And being in that environment where we're doing those things, and because they're purposeful and they're intentional, we understand the whys behind them. But I think here, as you think about, you know, focusing too much intellectually or focusing too much emotionally, head versus heart, my brain goes here is one, we need to identify in our personality which way we swing.
That's right.
Which way we swing. I know I swing towards head. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? I have to work hard to make sure there's a bunch of heart in my gathered life and in my spiritual life.
You have to be intentional to engage the heart because the head is pretty automatic.
Yeah, the head's pretty automatic. It's actually one of the reasons that I do listen to scripture being read.
Nice.
Because if I sit down with a Bible in front of me, I have been trained, I have advanced degrees in how in dissecting, studying, and preparing to preach the scriptures.
So you almost can't read it without already engaging that, how do I communicate this?
That's literally, it's so hard for me to get out of that mode. And that doesn't mean that I don't delight in the scriptures when I do that, but I'm just always in that mode. So to get out of that mode, I have to literally listen to the scriptures being read. Mm. And it just clicks something in my brain of, oh no, this is me just delighting. This is my heart being filled.
Yeah.
It's a unique thing for me, right?
It's going through a different input, not your eyes, going through your ears.
Maybe so figure out your personality. Which way do you lean? And then that means knowing that you need to lean in on the other thing a little bit more purposefully, right? Then the second thought I had was a professor friend of mine, he always talked about the spiritual life, a healthy spiritual life being like a three-legged stool. And that you need head, you need heart, and you need relationships. Mm. And when one of those legs is shorter than the other three, can you stay balanced on the stool?
On a two-legged stool?
For a little while, right? It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah.
For a little while, you can stay balanced. Eventually, though, you're gonna tumble over, right? And so I think in that of, is there a danger in focusing too much on the head? Absolutely. Mm. Our love grows cold. Right? The scriptures talk about that. Jesus talks about that in Revelation, right? Our love is growing cold. What was the church in Ephesus in Revelation? What was their problem?
Lukewarm.
They were lukewarm, not because they lacked intellectual knowledge. In fact, Jesus praises them for their theological intellectual knowledge, but they lost their first love. Mm. And their first love wasn't for Christ.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying. You lost your love of me. He's saying, no, you lost your love of your neighbor.
Wow.
That's their problem. And so they needed to engage heart. So we see where head is, that can become problematic, right? And so if the leg of that stool on the heart is too short, you can probably balance it for a little while, but your love is going to grow cold for those that are around you. If your heart is full, then, and you are lacking the intellectual side of things, then you're probably going to have this deep commitment and love for other people in your life, but you're going to lack the theological truth that you need to actually love them well.
That's right.
Right. And so we've defined love here at Christ Community, you know, in this sermon series and in many, many before, that love is a persistent concern for someone's greatest good and a willingness to serve them towards that end.
That's right.
If I don't know what's true, I can't love you well. Even if I have this deep desire and compulsion to love you, I need to know the truth, because it is the truth that sets us free.
That's right.
That's in the Bible somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Someone said that in the Bible. It wasn't just Goodwill Hunting.
That's right. That's right.
and so we need both of those things, and there are pitfalls on both sides, right? If I become too intellectually inclined, then my love is likely going to grow cold for my neighbor. That's
right. Just kind of cold intellectualism.
Yep. And if I don't engage my head, then when I do get in relationship with my neighbor, I'm not going to be able to give them the life-changing truth that they actually need, right? And so I think that stool needs all three, and the way that we stay engaged with head and heart together is in community.
That's right.
Just again, go back to Ryan's sermon this morning. It's why we gather in worship. Mm-hmm. It's why we connect in groups. It's why we have people in our life that can speak into it, right? Mm-hmm. We have tough stuff people That's in right. our lives. It's why we get away in rhythms of silence, solitude, and reflection. It's why we engage rhythms of repentance, right? So everything that Ryan laid out this morning, they drive us back to that relational component, both with other Christians and with God himself.
That's right. And we've got to remain, all of that has to be rooted in God's word, though, because that heart, if we exclude the head, if mm-hmm. we're just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's emotionalism, right? We're just yeah. kind of led wherever our feelings lead yeah. and we can, if we're untethered from scripture,
yeah.
if we're not engaging the head, then yeah, we can be led astray pretty easily because yeah. our feelings are pretty fickle.
Yeah.
They can be misled and they can be manipulated.
Yes.
And so, yeah, maintaining that rooting in the scripture, maintaining that head engagement will prevent us from being led astray. The other thing I wanted to point out was in Brian Chappell's excellent book on preaching.
Yes, Christ-centered preaching.
Christ-centered preaching. His process for sermon preparation has been so helpful for me. His first step is, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's basically create a prayerful response. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. Because I'm more inclined towards the academic as well. And so when I read it, I'm thinking, okay, what's the structure? What's the background? What's the context? He says, before any of that,
just read it.
Read it a bunch and create that prayerful response. Turn that into a prayer to God before you ever start doing the expositional work. How is this drawing you closer to God? How is this causing you to worship? Engage the heart in a way that I think, motivates preaching to be more than just a lesson. This is not just a class on what the Bible says.
Yeah.
This is, we are talking about what God made objectively true in his word and what it means for you now in what did it mean to the original audience?
Yeah.
And now what does it mean to you? How does that direct your life?
Yeah. Yeah. No, his book on Christ-centered preaching is probably one of the best volumes on preaching. I actually got to be in a preaching cohort with Dr. Chappell.
Incredible.
That was intimidating.
I bet. At least. So, I'm not going to say a single word to you, doctor. You just, I will sit here in silence.
We had to preach in front of him.
Ugh!
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. So, but it is just that, right? And I love that, right? As you, Taylor, are even, engaging, how does it look or what does it look like for me to go, how am I engaged? How am I delighting in the Lord in this moment? And God wants us to delight in him.
That's right.
We were created to delight in mm-hmm. him. And so,
he commands us, he tells us, delight yourself in the Lord.
Yeah. So, some of us have personalities that are more towards heart. Mm-hmm. Some of us have personalities that are more towards head. And we just have to understand that about ourselves. It's not a bad thing.
Nope.
It's who you are. Now, how do you take intentional next steps?
Right. Lean in.
Yeah. Great questions.
Great questions. Got time for a few more, I think.
Okay.
What are some rhythms in your spiritual life that help you focus on both the head and the heart?
Yeah, I think, I talked about some of this stuff already, is that, for me, really making sure that I'm focusing on the heart is things like listening to the scriptures being read. So listening to the audio version of the scriptures, that really helps me. I've talked about different rhythms of prayer where I literally take a 1 minute pause. I'll put it in my calendar. I'll get up, and take a lap, take a loop, and out of my normal experience, in my normal environment here at the office or whatever, just take a lap outside. Or if it's not nice, if it's yucky outside, then take a lap inside.
Go shoot some hoops in the gym.
And it's weird. Sports for me, it's not really a sanctifying experience. So I don't do that golf. When I used to golf, it was the most, golf
exposed some things.
Golf taught me of all the things I needed to repent of.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's right. It dug out.
And so, as a highly competitive person, I got to be careful there. Just rhythms of prayer, right? And then 1 minute pause, take a lap, and just talk to God.
Yeah.
In a way that is much more informal than maybe what my normal life would look like. And so, hearing the scriptures being read, the 1 minute pause, 3-4 times in my day, I literally set up my calendar. Mm-hmm. It goes, take a lap and pray.
Nice.
I mean, we're not talking like a 15 minute thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's literally a 5 minute max.
Nice.
And it really centers me on the Lord and delighting in him and the things that he often clarifies and speaks to me in that moment of just creating that regular rhythm in my life is huge.
Breaks up the routine a little bit.
Yeah. So if you're walking to the water cooler, pray.
That's right. I have I use an app called Echo. Mm-hmm. It is a prayer app that the one thing I don't like about it is it kind of sort of gamifies prayer. Like you can get like, keep your streak up, you know, yeah, like, yeah, okay, yeah. All right, don't do any of that. But it you just put in things that you want to pray for and then you can set how often it reminds you.
Yeah.
And so on my watch, about every hour, I think it is actually every hour, I get a notification that says, pray for this.
Yeah.
And that has been super helpful just to kind of keep open that open channel with God of yeah. like, okay, I am praying continually, even though I get distracted, I get mm-hmm. focused on the things, mm-hmm. and then my watch vibrates and says, pray for Pastor Kyle.
Yes, and, please pray and for then, Pastor
you know,
Kyle.
Just a short little prayer, like, God, I pray yeah. for Pastor Kyle. So yeah. Things like that, tools, resources yeah. at your disposal can be super mm-hmm. helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, what about you? I mean, so the Echo app is helpful for yep. you. Anything else that's helpful for you to focus on, you know, separate head and heart?
Yeah, I think when I am engaged in Bible reading, it's, I try to put myself in the shoes of the original audience.
Yeah.
And try to, so right now I'm reading through Ezekiel in my daily Bible reading. And so I'm putting myself in the shoes of these Israelites
yeah.
that are, they're exiles. They've been outcast from yeah. the land of Israel, and now they're living in exile. And as I'm reading it, it sort of makes it, I don't know, sort of feels more, it's not like it feels more real, but it just makes it feel more applicable. Like mm-hmm. I can mm-hmm. visualize if I was kicked out of my house, kicked out of my country,
yeah.
if I was taken to another country, and now my whole way of life yeah. is, you know, gone.
Yeah.
And I have to adopt this new nation's way of yes. life and language and, you know, like they worship different gods, right?
Yes.
Like how would I feel about reading these words of Ezekiel? And I don't know. It connects in a different way. I think it takes it from the head to the heart.
Cool.
But
yeah, that's awesome. And I think again, for each of us and our unique personalities, and it's okay, by the way, it is okay that for certain things to be more meaningful or fruitful in one season than the other.
That's right.
Right. There are seasons where gathered worship might just feel alive to you. Mm. And there are seasons where you're like, I know that I need to be there,
yeah.
and it is a spiritual discipline for me to be there. Same thing with gathering in a group or connecting in a group, right? When we connect in a group with other people, there are seasons where you're like, I know I need to be there,
yeah.
and I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. And then there are seasons where you're like, man, this is so good. I can't wait.
Yes. I can't get enough of this.
I can't get enough mm-hmm. of this. Bible reading, or anything in the spiritual life, our lives go in seasons.
That's right.
We're not always going to be in a lush, verdant valley, right? Sometimes we're going to be in places that are dry.
Yeah.
Right? And so don't be discouraged by that. Don't give up because if you're in that season,
mm-hmm.
right? The Lord is with you. He's walking with you, but we create diligence, dependence, and discipline in the rhythms
That's right.
of doing these things. And God will actually reveal to us, maybe not, we may not see it in that season,
right?
But in seasons that come after, we'll go, oh, I'm stronger because of X. And I didn't see it then.
That's right.
But the Lord's Spirit has revealed it to me now.
Yeah.
And if I wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't be here.
That's right.
And praise the Lord for it.
Praise the Lord. I once yeah. heard a seminar speaker talking about, they used the analogy of actual seasons.
Yeah.
So they were like, and it's been helpful. It's become helpful to me to picture, you know, there are times where I'm in spring and mm-hmm. things are blossoming. Things are changing.
Yeah.
Things are kind of surprising and like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't see that coming. And then summer when things are just running hot, right? Like
yeah.
everything is growing and producing and bountiful. And like, it's just so beautiful. And then seasons of fall where, you know, maybe some things are slowing down, but you're harvesting, right? Like you're pulling in.
Yep.
And then winter when it's just kind of cold and dark and dry.
Yep.
But then spring comes back around, right? Like just that
yeah.
that physical image we have of actual seasons can be so helpful in picturing my spiritual life,
yeah.
right? We're not expected to be in summer all the time.
No.
It's going to change,
yeah.
and that's okay. God is with you. God is present and doing things in every single season of your life,
yeah.
no matter what it looks like.
Yeah. It's almost like the writer of Ecclesiastes said something about that there's a time for everything in its season.
So, no, I think you're thinking of the bird song. I think that's where that came from.
Yeah. It's,
Sorry. Yes. Ecclesiastes first, the birds later.
But there's wisdom, and it's one of the things I love about living in the Midwest.
That's right.
We are in a season of planting.
Mm-hmm.
We came out of a season of
waiting.
And yes, there was equipment to maintain
and
all those things. But
house projects to work on.
We were waiting.
That's right.
We were waiting. And now we get to plant. And then we get to trust.
Yeah.
In expectancy for the harvest to come.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a place that is tied to the seasons.
Mm.
And God, there's a reason that the scriptures talk so frequently about seasons of our spiritual lives.
That's right.
Because we're not divorced from them. And going through the seasons doesn't mean you've done something wrong.
That's right.
And so, amen. So keep pressing through.
That's good. That's all good. Right. Couple more?
Let's do one more. Yeah,
one more.
Let's do one more.
All right, let's see. All right, this one here. When I think about silence and solitude, I struggle to get excited about that. Whoever asked this question, you're not alone.
Yeah, no.
Does that mean I have to become a monk to delight in God?
Praise the Lord, no.
Praise the Lord, no. The monk life is not for everyone? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I would be down with the monk life. Actually, not me personally. No, I can't. I can't.
For a little while.
I can't handle the monk life.
I'd be down for the monk life for about maybe 3 days.
I would be down for the monk life for about 30 minutes.
Okay. All right. Different strokes.
Yep. So no. And here's what I say. Again, let's go back to the personality conversation. Everybody has a different personality. When we talk about silence and solitude and reflection, we are talking about cultivating different practices and rhythms in the spiritual life. Jesus got a way to pray. Mm-hmm. If you read the Gospels and you just read a Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just look for the rhythms of Jesus' prayer life.
Yeah.
You are going to see that he gets away to pray.
Mm-hmm.
He gets away to places of silence and solitude. There are times where his prayer life is interrupted because he was getting away to a solitude place and the crowds followed him, right? And so Jesus demonstrates, he models these rhythms for us. And I think that the worst thing that we can do is get prescriptive with them.
Mm.
Of
this is the one way.
This is the one way. You have to, you know, we read a book as a staff team, you know, a year and a half ago or so now, and it was about just about spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
And the author talked about that he just loves to be in a quiet room with a cup of coffee and just to meditate on the scriptures and you know, just quiet reflection and contemplation. And there's a number of our staff that are like, yes to that.
That's where I'm at.
And I literally said in our staff meeting, I was like, that sounds terrible to me. That sounds literally awful to me. Like, we have stuff to go do.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, again, we just have to recognize that there's different personalities for folks.
That's right.
And so find something that works in your personality. A lot of times, those rhythms of silence and solitude are stretching for me.
Mm.
And they're moments of confession of my dependency. That's Lord, good. I need to rest. Because I am in need of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why John 15:5 is one of my crucial life verses. Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from me. Right? You're a branch. I'm the vine.
That's right.
Jesus says. If you are not connected to me, you will bear no fruit.
You're dead.
You literally can do nothing apart from me.
That's right.
And so for me and my personality, I need those rhythms that remind me of that truth.
That's good.
Right? For other people's personalities, they need those rhythms because maybe they're more introverted and they need that space to be filled up to then go and engage in ministry, right, with other people. And so, no, you don't have to become a monk, right?
Amen
to that. If you like being a monk, awesome, rock on. But also remember, we've got to be in gathered community. So it's the both and. It's just the both and of why do we get away? We get away to delight in the Lord. We get away to be reminded that our work is not the definition of what we do or who we are. We are who we are because of Christ Jesus, right? Paul talked about this morning in Romans or in 1 Corinthians here. He talks about it in Romans as well.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1 Corinthians, he talked about it here of it's because of the grace of God, I've received everything. Right? He'll literally say that to the Corinthians earlier, if you remember earlier in the letter, what do you have that you did not receive? You are kings.
That's right.
Right? So we get away in these rhythms in order to be reminded of what we've received.
That's right.
And for some of us, we get away in these rhythms to be filled up and to recharge our batteries in order to give away.
That's right.
Right?
That's good.
And so I think just knowing your personality, but no, you don't have to do the monk life.
That's right. And even the language you used of the cultivating. Mm-hmm. It's such a helpful analogy that, again, we are blessed to see. Mm. If you drive on any country road over the past 2 weeks or the next 2 weeks, you will see farmers cultivating. And
you don't even have to drive a country road.
That's true. Basically.
Just hit Dayton.
Yeah. But the
or North Dakota.
Yeah. But that idea of cultivation is, it's if it doesn't sound appealing to you to sit with a cup of coffee and a Bible, that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's just like anything. If you want to grow in that, if you do want that to be a delight to you, start small. I mean, it's like, it's like lifting weights or like getting in shape, right? You're not just going to be, you know, you're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger after your first time to the gym. I hate to break it to you.
Oh, bummer.
If you're counting on that. Like, it takes years in his case of like steady, consistent routine and literally cultivating to reap that harvest.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you want to be someone who can sit in a room quiet with a Bible and a cup of coffee, start small. Just start reading a little bit and asking God, open my eyes. How can I see you? How can I fall in love with you because of this passage?
Yeah.
I'm in kind of a boring part, right? I'm reading Leviticus. God still uses that. It's still God's word. And so praying, God, open my eyes to see your beauty in this passage.
Yeah.
He will over time. It may take a while, but he is working as you're pursuing him.
Yeah. And recognize, again, just recognize your personality.
Right.
What are you inclined to and what are you not inclined to? And just because you're not inclined to it doesn't mean that it's not profitable.
It's not an excuse for,
right?
Yeah.
And just because you're inclined to it doesn't mean it's the only thing you should do.
That's good.
Right?
That's good.
And so we just need to be, we need to be careful there in our personalities, but knowing who we are, knowing that God wants us to delight in him and he delights in us. He wants to join us in relationship and that he is preparing us for good works. Ephesians 2:10. 2:10, 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah.
You were not saved by works, you're saved by grace. And oh, by the way, you were saved for good works that were prepared for you in Christ Jesus, right? And so we need to be gospel engaged. We need to be relationally engaged with our Father in heaven. And we need to be reminded that our identity is in Christ Jesus alone, not what we accomplish or that we produce. And so next week, we're going to keep going in chapter 15.
So excited.
Talk about the resurrection of the dead. So join us next week for that.